This is the main show, and you are listening to the Archery Maniacs Podcast.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You'll never have the sacred stone.
This is Brian Barney.
Hey everybody, I'm Christy Titus.
This is John Stallone.
We launched an updated website at www.archerymaniacs.com. Go there and you will find Archery Maniac Taxidermy. Our taxidermy includes European mounts, hydrographic skull dips, and custom artwork. Customizable video packages. Packages to fit all your hunt needs. Monthly newsletter. The newsletter will include success stories, failure stories, gear reviews, wild game recipes, upcoming episodes in our online series, and upcoming podcasts, and updates to our YouTube online series called Live Life at Full Draw. Alert, alert! Soon to launch our ebooks, Hunt Planner Guide, all the steps you need to plan your next DIY dream hunt, including specific questions, hunt plans, and step-by-step instructions. Keto Dehydration, make your own dehydrated keto meals for your hunting and backpacking adventures. Super Tune Your Bow, Beginner's Bow Tuning Guide, and more. Thank you for tuning into the show, and we appreciate you checking out the website. Do you suffer from target panic? Has buck fever affected your shot control at the moment of truth? Learn the science of shot control at ShotIQ.com. Joel Turner's controlled process shooting program will give you the tools to succeed in extreme stress shooting situations. Decide to succeed with ShotIQ. In this episode, Cale Staten, Craig Blankenship, and Corey Hart recap their javelina hunt on the famous Chaparocha Ranch in La Pryor, Texas. They cover spot and stalk javelina hunting, how to hunt South Texas brush country, how to do similar hunts, and more. The last 15 minutes of this episode were actually recorded in a vehicle, so there's quite a bit of background noise. However, you can still hear the guys talking, so please bear with us. I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Cale Staten coming to you from Archery Maniacs. We are got a couple friends here. We're at the Chaparocha Ranch in La Pryor, Texas, on about a 80,000 acre ranch, doing a javelina and hog hunt the last 2 days. And we're just going to talk to you about the last couple days' experience we had. I got two friends here, and they're going to introduce themselves real quick.
Corey Hart out of Forney, Texas.
Craig Blankenship, Rowlett, Texas.
We got here 2 days ago. We had about an hour and a half of daylight left, and then our main goal was to start, the way we hunt these things here in Texas is we get corn and we just start pouring it down the middle of these senderos and we try to find these javelinas. We'll just drive around, and as we see a javelina or a group of javelina out in the middle of the road, out in the sendero, we'll do a spot and stalk. First evening, we did do one stalk, didn't we?
Yeah, we did one stalk, I believe.
We really didn't have corn on the road, but that's the if you haven't hunted South Texas, you cannot even. That's why they cut senderos, because it's, you can't walk off of a sendero. There's no way to get through it. So, only way for us to get these javelinas out in front of us is to corn the roads to get them out to come to bait, and then we will stalk down to them. So basically, that's all we did the first night. But the second, we had a couple guys out here out pouring corn out too. So the next morning, when we started up, we went straight back to where we did our one stalk, and we were able to get on. How many javelinas were out there that day, that morning? Three or four.
Yeah, right off the bat.
And who was up to bat? Who did the first stalk?
I did.
Craig.
Craig did. Yeah.
Craig did the first stalk, and kind of how did that go?
The first little group came out, gosh, we were 200, 250 yards away, and just hugged the side of the sendero, keep our silhouette away from the pigs, and just kept getting a little closer, and being my first javelina hunt, I wasn't real sure how close I could get, and being fairly confident with the bow and 3D archery, I tried to let one go at about 68 yards and just rushed it a little bit, but missed that one.
Yeah. That's a tough shot on about 30-pound animal.
Right. Right. You got about a 24 by 36 target with about a cannonball or a cantaloupe size kill shot area. And just rookie mistake.
So after that, we were basically drove around for these javelina don't like to come out in the mornings when it's too cold. They, even though if it's 50 degrees, it seems like it's too cold for these dang things. So it seems like every time I've hunted them, about 9:30 in the morning is about when they start moving. And we ended up driving along Sendero and turning onto a new one. And there was about 10 or so out in the middle of that next Sendero. We try to go down in pairs, and I think that was me and you.
Yep.
So me and Corey went down that next stalk, and that was Corey's first stalk ever on with a bow. He's killed a couple with a gun, but with a bow on the javelina. And how'd that work out?
We spotted them about 1,000 yards away and creeped up on them as close as we could with the mule, and we got within 400 yards, and Kel and I took off after them. Craig was behind us with a video camera videoing, so we might be able to post that video later once we see how it turns out. We got in range about 100 yards, and we started creeping, slowing down alongside of the brush and the Sendero. Kel was in front of me at that point, and then I went in front of him because I was going to be the shooter. We got real close with them, crept as slow as we could, and finally we just kind of stopped because they started coming towards us.
What I was doing, I was ranging them, and I was whispering to him how close they got, you know, when they got the 50, 45, and I guess, what was the distance they was at when you shot him?
32, I think. He was around 37. He got a little bit closer before I let it go. He turned broadside. I shoot bows not very often. I'm getting more into it. Any animal I've shot at with a bow, I've been lucky enough to kill it, though, so I was pretty confident when it came to the animal. He turned sideways, and I put my 30-yard pin on him and let it fly. Whenever I let it fly, he ended up turning, so it went from a shoulder shot to more of a gut shot. But the gut shot did the trick. I used a Grim Reaper broadhead, 2-inch cut. He didn't go 20 yards. He was in the brush. Right when I shot, another group of javelinas came out down the road, probably 300-400 yards, and Craig and Kale took off after them. I went in the brush after mine. Whenever I got in there, I found him in a big group of cactus, and I had to let another arrow fly into him.
I hear some thunder.
This time I put it through his jugular, and it was a wrap. It was my first stalk was a success. Came out with a kill. It's pretty cool.
Beginner's luck.
Yeah.
Man, you hear that thunder?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Uh-oh. We're sitting in the middle of a Sendero midday. It's kind of a slow time of the day. About 4:30, they'll start moving again. We did a stalk a few minutes ago, but we're sitting here and it looks like it's clouding up in the distance and just heard a little bit of thunder. I hope it doesn't rain on us. But when Corey was looking for his, me and Craig went down and it was my turn and ended up getting, I think I was 50 yards or something when I ended up just trying to shoot one as he was walking off, and I didn't even get close. We did a couple more little half-hearted stalks at that point, but mm-hmm. really didn't get within distance, and it was getting about lunchtime, and I think we went in and Carrie had us lunch cooked. The rest of the day we just spent corning roads, trying to get as much bait out as possible. This ranch, it's 80,000 acres, but there's 12 of us, and we're able to hunt 14,000 of it. So it's quite a bit of territory, and we're broke up into groups of 3 to 4 on ATVs driving around. So there's not too many of us, too many groups trying to get this bait out so we can get these javelinas out of this brush. So we come back the evening, and we didn't really see anything until... When's the next time we saw an animal?
Gosh, we started seeing quite a few around 5:30.
And it gets dark here probably 6:45.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember. at that point, we figured out we could do Facebook Live, so we tried to do a couple Facebook Live stalks. I'm trying to remember who was up next. Who did the next stalk?
I think Kale was up on the Facebook Live stalk because we were.
Well, we did one before that.
We tried one with me.
Because didn't you end up shooting one, Craig, at some point?
I shot one from, on that same Sendero right before lunchtime, but it wasn't just grazed it. It was about 54 yards away and a little too far. And wind was a little bit from the wrong direction. Just rushed it a little bit, but didn't seem to phase the animal. Just took a little hide off its back.
Yeah. This ranch, about 2 weeks ago, had a, in Texas, they have a big hunt called the Texas Shootout. And I don't know how many hunters they allowed on this place, 200 or something, to come out and try to reduce some of these numbers, these javelina. And so these javelina are a little bit skittish. I saw that text. a little bit skittish. In the past, I've been able to get within 50 yards of a javelina pretty easy, and it's been pretty tough to get within 100 yards of them here on foot. So at some point, me and you did a couple stalks.
We tried one, and
I think the wind busted us.
It wasn't us,
on that.
The wind busted us, I believe.
Yeah. A javelina can't see very good at all. Basically, the way I understand it, they see shapes and they see shadows. But they, if you're still and you walk towards them, slowly, it's really hard for them to pick you out. But if the wind is in their direction and they smell you, they're gone. If they hear you, they'll give you a little bit of time. But, with any animal, with one of their senses is not great, their other ones are better. So that their sense of smell is awesome. And if you get any kind of swirling wind or anything, they're gone. They won't give you a second. They'll just burn out of there. And that's what's happened to us several stalks.
Get rid of some of that wind noise.
Yeah. If you are getting wind noise on this, sorry about it. We're trying to block the microphone, but we're right, a little bit breezy out here right now. So next. Once we got the idea to get the Facebook Live going, we thought it was the greatest thing in the world to try to see if we could kill a javelina on Facebook Live. And it was my turn to shoot at that point. We were just driving down a Sendero trying to get to the next Sendero, I think.
Well, yeah,
we were just trying to get to somewhere else.
Down the fence line, we had an open agricultural field next to the left of us as we were traveling down the Sendero. Fairly rapid pace. We were just going from point A to point B, and this one javelina was trying to cut us off at the pass. I just looked to my left and I was like, stop, stop. He was right. He was just
when
right
we saw him, it was five yards.
Yeah.
By the time we stopped the ATV, we were probably 10 yards past him, not very far. And I had to jump out of the four-wheeler and grab my bow, grab my release. I didn't have time to get nothing. Corey grabbed the cell phone, turned it on Facebook Live. I don't know why this javelina was trying to cross this fence. It really wanted to get past us. I was able to just sneak up on it and... this happened in seconds. I just walked up to it basically, and he was at 20 yards trying to cross the fence, and I was able to shoot him. And I think we got a little excited on that, because just 30 seconds before we were trying to think how cool it would be to get it on Facebook Live, and we were able to just seconds later. We did get a little excited on that kill, actually. Mm-hmm. Able to shoot that one and recover him. He only ran about 25 yards and get some pictures and stuff. So that was the most exciting part of our night last night. Corey may have said a few words. We probably can't put that video up. It's not, we got a little too excited on that one. After that point, we did every time I've hunted these javelinas, the last hour of the night is the best. It seemed like every corner we turned, there was a javelina out in the middle of a Sendero somewhere. So, Corey, did you get a stalk, or was it Craig's turn next? Because
it was Craig's turn. We turned down the Sendero right before dark.
Since I'd killed one and Corey'd killed one, we're trying to get Craig to kill. And we turned down a long, probably a a mile or longer, so long Sendero, and there were several groups of javelina out in this Sendero, and basically me and Craig went first. I was just going to video. Craig, kind of tell us what happened there.
Yeah, we came upon this little group of javelinas kind of at the bottom of a little belly area of Sendero. And like Kel was saying, we took off down the Sendero, just hugging the side again to try to get as close as we could. And got within, I think at that time I was right at about 35 yards. And just perfect little setup. Javelina was walking away. As we were looking forward, he was about 35 yards in front of us, turned to the left, gave a good broadside shot, and real confident at anything less than 40, and made a good shot, connected, and it ran right under the fence into this South Texas thicket maze of the thickest stuff you could ever think of. And it's just we searched and looked, and
it's crazy. I've got that on video. I can post that one later. I got that one on my phone. As soon as we shot, there was another group of javelina down the way, and so we sent Corey on because there was probably only about 10 minutes of legal light left, and so he went ahead of us, try to get on that next group, while me and Craig spent the until dark. Almost. No, it was probably more than 20 minutes of daylight, because we were able to make that next stop.
Yeah.
So it was probably 30 minutes or less of daylight left at that point. And Corey was went on stalk by himself while me and Craig, I mean, we reviewed that video on my phone. I was able to slow it down and see it. I'm standing right beside him. We watched it 15 times, watched the arrow hit right behind the shoulder, found the arrow with blood on it, was able to pinpoint exactly where he ran into the brush, and we could not find that dang thing. We looked for 15, 20 minutes, and no sign of anything. I don't know what the heck would happen with that, but it was tough. We couldn't. I don't know. We couldn't even find which trail he ran on after. As soon as he got 3 feet into the brush, we were having to push through and break limbs, and I can't even explain to y'all how thick it is down here. If you've never experienced this South Texas brush country, it's unbelievable. I don't know how animals live in it, but that's why these big bucks down here get big and mature, I guess, because they live in it and nobody can find them. But Corey, what happened on your stalk on that one?
I got down there within about 60 yards or so, and they were coming towards me. I was in a perfect spot in some trees, and I was just waiting it out, and out of nowhere, two deer jumped the fence, and it spooked everything in sight and ran everything off. They never came back out.
This ranch is absolutely covered up with deer, so we have to be careful. We have to scare the deer out of the dang Sendero to get down to try to take to sneak up on these javelina, because the deer will scare off the dang javelina if they catch us first. You can't sneak past a whitetail. Thousands and thousands of deer. We've seen hundreds of them today just driving around. It's unbelievable. So after that, we were kind of bummed out. We needed to get back to camp. I had to cook dinner last night, and then we're driving back, turned a corner, and there were two javelinas standing in the road. So Craig jumped out of the four-wheeler. They're probably about 75 yards away at this point. And what happened?
Yeah, I was in a little bit of redemption mode at that point. I'd flung three arrows that day, connected, we'll call it one and a half times, and just slowed down, gathered my thoughts, and was able to walk much closer than the shots from the previous day. Again, right at dark, could still see, you know, fairly decent, but I think we could see a lot better than the javelina can. Their eyesight is not their greatest attribute, and I was able to get right at 30 yards and just came on a string, perfect scenario, turned to the side, real comfortable, confident shot, double lung,
jumped sideways, turned to flip, did a
he little, was biting the hell out of that arrow.
Crawl. The arrow went in both lungs and out one side, and he turned around trying to bite the arrow as it was coming out of him. And again, took off into the thicket, and just at that point, I was like, okay, we made a good shot. We finally got a good good set, a good solid kill shot. Let's just wait till the next morning and go back and try to recover that guy.
Me and Corey were sitting there watching it through binoculars. We both had a pair of binoculars. It wasn't far. It was getting dark, but it was very clear. The javelina was, you know, broadside to us where we were sitting in the four-wheeler. And I could see that damn slick trick sticking out of the side of that javelina a foot. And he turned around and bit the arrow. I thought he was going down right there. Just unbelievable how tough he was. And, you know, he laid down for just a second and then stood back up and then ran into the brush. And we marked that spot on our GPS and came back first thing this morning. And what were we able to find this morning?
Gosh, we did recover the arrow, yeah. Luckily. Corey was bold enough to go head first into that thicket and find some blood. And we both, actually all three of us, just kind of stayed within a general area and tried to make circles from the center point to find you know, any evidence of a blood trail or an animal to retrieve. And it's again, I mean, this it sounds a lot worse than it is when you try, when you make a kill shot on an animal, but you just would not believe how thick this the wall of mesquites and sage and prickly pears, it's just almost impenetrable. And but once you get down on your knees about 18 inches, 24 inches, you can see all the little trails of the javelina that can just run at any given pace anywhere they want to go.
They've got little tunnels and stuff built in the, you know, maze, their maze of brush and everything. You'll get in there, you can see all the tunnels and everything that are, you know, 18 inches off the ground.
In order to see anything, you got to get down to their eye level, so it's hard on you.
So at that point, once again, not a successful retrieval, and again, you can't cry over spilt milk. You got to keep at it.
Yeah.
And can't let it ruin your day. And it was early morning still. I mean, we'd made a few rounds, did a little scouting, and checked out a few senderos, and we ended up back at that spot. And you know, that was our game plan when, as we were heading in, to try to find that dude, and just couldn't get it done. So I believe at that point,
is that where we came to here?
That's where the point we're at now is where we started the excitement for the day here.
Yeah.
And it was I believe at that point it was probably Kale's turn. No, it was Corey's turn. And we came to a T section in the sendero, and there were javelinas on the left, javelinas on the right, and the two on the left were actually coming straight towards us, and Corey took the path of least resistance and went to the left.
Yeah, we came to the T and we saw javelinas on both sides of us. So I said, which way do you want to go, Corey? And he said, I'm going closest ones. So yeah, he went left, but he forgot his damn rangefinder at the four-wheeler, so that was an issue. Mine were about 300 yards away, and his were only about 75 yards away, so he went left, and I went right. And what happened, Corey?
On this stock, instead of going straight down the side of a sendero, I could actually go through the brush and stay away from him, hidden out of sight. So that's what I did. I went into the thick brush, moved real slow, got to where I couldn't see them, and I kept moving towards them. Well, by the time I peeked out to the road to see where they were at, he was probably 10 yards from me and looked straight at me and took off. So when he took off, I kind of popped out in the open to see where they were, and the other one was probably 50 yards or so, maybe 55, maybe 45. I can't really tell. I didn't have my rangefinder, but He took off on the jog and then stopped for a second. I put my 40-yard pin on him kind of high on the shoulder. And when I released, he took off again. I connected with him, but I hit him high in the back, more towards his hindquarters.
Hair off of him.
Yeah, I think I hit him right where his gland is. So I recovered the arrow. Arrow had a bunch of fat and stuff on it, so I didn't get a good shot on him.
He's still running around here eating corn in the road.
Right.
He's partying right now.
So 2 years ago when I was down here, I shot my furthest kill. I shot one at 50 yards just to see if I could, because I practice all the time and I could hit a target at 50 yards, and I ended up doing that. So my goal was to see if I could make a good kill on one this year at 65, because I've got a 65-yard mark on my sight. And so since I went to the right, I was by myself, I thought this would be a good opportunity. And basically I walked straight up to the dang javelina at 65 yards, and he was by himself, and I did not connect on the two shots I took at him. He was so far away, he didn't even know I shot. So I was able to get two shots at him, and I missed him twice, which I'm not going to do that again. That was a dumb mistake I made. So anyway, there were so many javelina in the area right then. Craig came down there with me, and we were able to pile off in the brush and try to go after them. And I was lucky enough to sneak up with one of them, and I was able to get a good shot on that one. I shot one at 20 yards, able to get my second javelina that way. So that's kind of right there in 5 minutes. Corey got a shot, and I got three shots, and two of them I probably shouldn't have taken. I should have got a little closer, but I was trying to see if I could take one a little further distance, since I practiced that far a lot, but did not work out. A 30-pound animal is a lot different to shoot at than a big bag target that I'm shooting at my house. So I'm not doing that again. My goal is going to be to get close as possible, if I, just to be able to shoot one. But I'm not shooting no damn javelina at that distance anymore. It's too small. Did we do any more?
That was it, I think.
So
I think that was it for today. I mean, you got to give it up for these little critters. I mean, this is the roughest, toughest, thickest. Anything out there will stick you, prick you, or bite you. And they just cruise through that stuff like it's nobody's business.
Not only that, for a 30-pound animal, they're tough as a boot. You might hit them perfect, you think, with an arrow when they're standing broadside, like Craig has a couple times, and not retrieve them. I mean, find blood everywhere, not retrieve them. Find your arrow that's covered in blood, not retrieve them. And part of it's probably because we can't get through this thick brush, but at the same time, when you double lung a 30-pound animal, you're going to think that he's going to be real close, and they haven't been.
No.
For sure.
We've had a run-in of a couple rattlesnakes out here, too. That one yesterday, we was about 6 foot long.
Yeah. Holy cow, that sucker was... that was probably the biggest rattlesnake I think I've ever seen.
That was a trophy rattlesnake with about 10 rattles on it.
Pissed off.
We were wanting to get him for the grill, but he went in a hole too fast for us to get that rattlesnake. We ran into another one today. It was a little smaller, about a four-footer. But it's hot enough out here right now. We need to be careful the rest of the day, because... they're out roaming around, and they're hungry because it's 1st of March, and they've probably been in hibernation most of the last month or so.
Yeah, we came around the corner on that one, and like Kel was saying, I mean, they've been out of hibernation just since it started warming up, and it's not uncommon for them to see them just laid out in the middle of the road, just sunning theirself.
He was pissed off. He was trying to bite the damn four-wheeler when he pulled up on
him. We came around the corner of the V of where two Sendero's come together, and he straight up was pissed off at the four-wheeler.
He reared his head up,
neck
hissing
up,
at
rattling
us.
And
rattling. Golly, he was mad. I'm glad I didn't walk up on him.
that was risky business there.
We're about to get back after it, though, here in just a second.
We had a good dinner last night, too. I work at a restaurant, so I brought everybody some of the ribeyes we cook at my restaurant, and we cooked a good steak dinner last night for everybody. There's 12 of us here, including the rancher. So we've been It's not been too difficult of a hunt here this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you an idea of how much work it is, just to, I mean, we have seen a lot of javelina, but we have covered a lot of miles to do that. I mean, we're in a side-by-side ATV, and again, we're looking at, 14, 15,000 acres. But as from a hunter's perspective, since we arrived yesterday morning, we've driven roughly 95 miles.
No. It was 160.
160?
Yeah.
No, yeah, think
on,
about
on
that.
On the GPS, we've covered 160 miles in basically 2 days. An evening, a morning, an evening, and a morning. And we've covered 160 miles on this four-wheeler.
Yeah, I mean, just envision a jigsaw puzzle of Sendero's on 15,000 acres, and you're just constantly roaming and traveling looking for these little rascals. And, yeah, it's as much of a mental game as it is a physical game, for sure.
If y'all want to look up the Chaparosa Ranch, look it up and see what the owner killed this year. It's an 80,000-acre ranch, and it's a low-fence ranch in Texas, and he killed a 252-inch buck off this place.
Big double drop tines.
Unbelievable buck down here in South Texas, but the owner killed it this year. I think he's been known to kill a bunch of big bucks. This is not our place. We're paid hunters on here. It's not guided. Basically, we get a map to show us our borders. We get a place to sleep, and it's all on us to be able to find the animals and try to take some. This place is completely overrun with javelina. That's why they want us to take some of them off. We can kill hogs too, wild domestic or wild hogs, but those are a little little tougher to stalk, and we haven't even seen any. I think those are pretty much coming out at night, and we're not allowed to night hunt out here, so we have not seen any pigs yet out of all the guys. So that would be the trophy of the weekend if one of us could stalk and kill a wild pig with our bow.
Yeah, it's a little tough on those guys. This is a real dry, arid climate out here. And again, don't ever underestimate when we're talking about how thick that this brush is. And to be able to see a hog would definitely be a bonus.
Yeah. A couple of these hunts in South Texas, I was able to stick one, but it's not been very often. That spot and stalk on a pig, if you haven't hunted pigs, they're not dumb like people. I hear people say they're stupid and they're easy to kill, and that's completely not true. These wild pigs are unbelievable. They're a completely different animal than a javelina. They're not related, and it's a completely different animal to hunt. There's where is a whitetail, I believe. And if you know, there's no way you're going to stalk, not very easily stalk up on a whitetail to get within bow range.
No, not at all.
So,
although we have seen, not on the menu, obviously, but we've seen a couple of really nice bucks as we've been traveling to Sendero's today.
A 12-point we saw this morning was a typical 10 with split G3s on each side, probably 18 inches wide. He was nice. He wasn't a 252-inch buck like the owner killed, but he was a good deer.
Right.
He was a good deer. We get to watch him for about 10 minutes this morning.
We still got all our buddies at home thinking that we killed a big old mountain lion, too.
Yeah, that's another story. All the guys in our deer lease, we've texted them and got them convinced that we shot a mountain lion. And we told them we've got dogs coming to do the tracking, so we're going to... That's been going for about 5 hours now, so we're going to have to break the news to them here in a little while. I don't know what we're going to do to break the news.
We've got till tomorrow now. I just prolonged the story. Told them one of the dogs got injured when they found the mountain lion. Sent them a picture of a wounded dog. Now they're real believers. They're all over it.
I can't wait till they get to hear this podcast, too.
It's a good time.
So Mark, Gary, and Mike, Wendell, all you guys, sorry, man. It was fun to mess with y'all. This was awesome.
Yep.
They won't believe a story we tell them for the rest of our lives after this.
Right.
Completely right. Convinced that Corey shot a mountain lion today. They are out here. very few of them. We probably never see one, but they're convinced that we shot one.
Oh, yeah. We've seen coyotes. We've seen bobcats.
We've seen that black bobcat. I say he's black, but he was 75% black. I've never seen one like that in my life. We've seen three or four bobcats, I guess. Several coyotes. I haven't seen any fox, and I'm kind of surprised about that because my place in Texas, we see a bunch of fox.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We haven't seen any out here.
I think there'd be a bunch of them out here, too.
We need to spend another week out here calling with the predator call because that would be unbelievable.
Would be a good time there.
Unbelievable. Jeez. So, man, I hope this rain doesn't come
in. Yeah, these clouds are forming together pretty pretty consistently here. And
we're a solid hour drive on a four-wheeler from our camp. And it looks like we got thunderstorms on the way, so I don't know what we're fixing to do. This is not good. We're in a four-wheeler, we're on a side-by-side Mule FXT, not a enclosed car. So this could get crazy here in a minute.
We're going to tough it out and go kill some more javelinas.
Yeah, I think here in the next hour or so, with the pressure dropping and the wind blowing, we can get some stalks in our favor and follow the wind.
So we'll come back to y'all. I'm going to cut it right here, and we'll come back to y'all on the drive home. We'll let y'all know how this evening hunt went and tomorrow's morning hunt went and kind of finish it up there. Thanks for listening. All right, we're back again. We just want to wrap this podcast up. We're driving back to Dallas. We got about 300 miles more to go, and I apologize if you're hearing a little bit of road noise right now since Corey's driving. We're just recording this on my iPhone and try to summarize the rest of our trip and kind of let y'all know what happened and what we did to be successful. We ended up logging 295 miles on Corey's brand new Mule FXT. Broke it in good this weekend. I don't know how happy your wife's going to be about that, Corey.
We put a couple scratches and dings on it for sure. Thanks to Kel's GPS skills.
I'm not a very good navigator. Onyx Maps did a very good job. Thank God we had them because we'd have been lost the entire time. We ended up recovering three javelina, and between the three of us and a few more that we got good shots on that we couldn't end up finding. It sucks, and we don't like that to happen, but in that thick-ass Texas, South Texas brush, I mean, we did the best we could to try to recover these and take ethical shots, and I, you know, may change a few things next year, but I don't think we did anything that we should have done this year, but it was just bad luck a couple times, and hunting, you know, archery hunting, we don't like to lose an animal, but we did end up losing a few this weekend. Ended up seeing a bunch of animals. This Chaparosa Ranch is just absolutely incredible. There's several giant tanks on there. They're completely loaded full of ducks. We've seen probably 500 turkeys this weekend, several bobcats, foxes, or not fox, coyotes. What did that buck look like this morning?
He was a good one. I bet he was a 165 plus type deer. Tall, heavy, dark chocolate horn. We were probably 300 yards away from him, so we couldn't get all the best look at him, but you could tell it was nice when you can see him 400 yards away, and you can see he's got a tall rack.
He looked like a northern whitetail to me, something you would imagine from Kansas or something like that, Iowa. Big heavy horned monster buck. That's a big buck here for Texas.
He's definitely one on our place that you go straight for the gun. There's no thinking about it.
We're lucky enough to just watch him through the binoculars. Ended up this morning, first thing this morning, Corey was up to bat, and we were trying to get him one more javelina, and we did a short stalk, and when we first started out, the dang javelina just walked off into the brush, so we just walked down there just in case, just to see if it'd walk out or whatever. Corey was about 10 foot in front of me and ended up scaring that thing back to me, which I wasn't supposed to be the shooter, but since it came running back to me, I ended up having to get down on my knees and shooting him through a little rabbit hole or a little trench and shot him and got a second, my second javelina this morning. But we learned a lot of things. You know, what's something y'all learned we're going to do different next year?
You definitely need stalking boots, lightweight boots, not heavy shoes, anything that'll make you sound like you're Sasquatch walking through the woods. I made that mistake this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. You really need to be, you know, as prepared as you can be, but lightweight, comfortable clothes. I made the mistake of bringing my 3D competition bow because I was thinking there was going to be a need for longer shots, but I was, after the first day, I was kicking myself. I should have brought my shorter axle-to-axle hunting bow, pin sights instead of an adjustable sight, short stabilizer, just anything that you can stay compact and close to your body, because those javelinas, I mean, they can't see all that well, but more confined you can be on your stalk, hug the tree line, hug the brush, even as simple as just walking down a fence line, a T-post fence line.
That worked for us several times. There was a wide Sendero that had a brand new T-post and cedar fence running down it, and if we just hugged the side of it, we kind of blended in with that and used that as our backdrop. That worked for us a bunch.
Right.
Pay attention to the wind. We had several times that we had the wind at our backs, but we just got so excited, we just went with it anyway and tried to go after them. And when you get within about 50 yards and they smell you, they're gone. They don't give you any second chance.
No, they hit the brush. When they smell you, they run in and they go away. A couple times we got in on them and they heard us and were able to get into the brush with them and locate them and try to get shots on them that way and just being aggressive, but anytime they smelled us, they're gone. They don't, by sound or by sight, they're going to just sneak into the brush and try to get safe and just hang out because they don't know what's going on, but anytime they smelled us, they were gone for good.
Yeah, that's actually kind of an eerie situation. We followed several groups into the brush, and you know, after recovering the first one or two, and you see those tusks that they have when they open their mouth, and be in the brush and trying to chase them and follow them, and you can hear them snorting and sniffing and scurrying around, but you know, once you're in there, they live in there, so yeah. They can dart and run and dip and dive through everything and just, you know, carry their momentum forward. You have to climb over and cut through and pry yourself just a trail, so kind of think that they may be coming at you at any given time.
Yeah, there were several times when we went in there, all three of us, and we couldn't really tell where they were, and they didn't know where we were, and you know, Kel or Craig would go in there and scare them towards me. There was one time they came directly at me full speed, and within 5-6 feet of me, ran right past me, didn't even know I was there. So you got to be on your toes.
You got to hear the one's jaws pop this morning and the one I shot, didn't you, Corey? Were you close enough to hear that, Craig?
No, I was just out of earshot on that one.
Yeah, the one I shot this morning before he ended up dying was popping his teeth at me, and he was upset. And they sound like 2x4s slapping together. So that was a crazy sound to scare the crap out of if you walk up on them and don't know they didn't see them.
For sure. Yeah, all in all, it was a great weekend. I mean, you always learn something new when you go into the woods, and definitely the first time hunting these animals, and don't give them any discount. When you're hunting where they live, they know every angle and every benefit to where they're at. And
yeah.
It's always fun to get a little more knowledge on every hunt.
I made a complete rookie mistake, and I'm not going to do this ever again. And I've had a bad habit of, I've been lucky enough that over the years I really haven't had an issue of traveling and getting somewhere and having my equipment sights move or rest move or something. I've never had that issue, and once we got here, such running a gun, and we never took the time to even shoot our bows at a target when we got here. And I had a couple, three or four uncharacteristic misses of mine. And so ended up shooting at a target this morning with the headlights of the four-wheeler just to see what was going on. And I ended up being about 5 inches right and about 8 inches high at 35 yards. So I don't know what happened. I still don't know what happened. I'll work that out when I get home. But ended up changing my windage adjustment this morning to get my left and rights back on, and then I shot my pins at different distances. Luckily, I only took one shot this morning, and it was about 10 yards, so I didn't have to worry about that. But my misses this weekend were all on me because I didn't even. I should have shot my bow when I got here, and that's just dumb. I don't know. I'll never do that again. I learned a big lesson because I thought the misses were on was me, and apparently they were not, since I was so far out of sight, you know, this morning. I know better than that, and I'll never do it again.
Another thing on these trips is you can't take enough corn. you put 200 pounds of corn on the road and think it's going to last very long. You come back, it's crazy from the morning hunt to the evening hunt how much corn those things eat.
From the birds, the turkeys, the deer, the javelinas.
You everything. Can't take enough feed.
This is a fun hunt. This is a good practice. Good practice to be able to get a lot of shot opportunities, a lot of stalks. If you haven't been to South Texas hunting these javelinas, I suggest you trying to find a place to go. It's tons of these ranches down in South Texas allow you to come hunt for pretty cheap. They normally just let you have the run of the place and treat it as your own. We've found different places over the years just on the internet through word of mouth. And these javelina, they're a lot like deer because they'll have just 1 to 2 babies a year. But the hunters down here in South Texas, they don't hunt them, so they don't ever get shot. And so they do. They're basically overpopulated. There's too many of them down here. They're not like pigs, and they don't have 2, 3, 4 litters a year. But since nobody shoots them except for the springtime when these people from up north and other parts of the state come down here and hunt them, they don't get shot. You know, so it is a fun hunt, a lot of practice, and helps you work on things, spot stock, you know, that you may not have time to work on during the season, and just not having that many opportunities over and over and over again. If you mess something up, if the wind busts you, or you step on a stick, or you just do something dumb, you learn from it and get another chance, you know, just down the different road here a few minutes later, you know. So we had way more missed opportunities and missed stocks than we had successful ones. I think it was probably
sure
10 to 1, 10 stalks to every stalk that we had a shot opportunity at.
Yeah, for sure. Everything has to come together just right to get a good ethical shot, and that's one thing to consider. I mean, you can practice and you can have all the right equipment, and your goal ultimately is to kill the animal, but the goal of the shot is to place an ethical shot with a clean kill. Practice.
And there were several times that I could have took shots at 60, you know, 65 yards, but I'm not comfortable shooting that range. You know, my max is 40, so I didn't take those shots just because I didn't want to wound an animal and not be able to find it, or, you know, just completely just waste an arrow. That's another thing on these trips. You better bring plenty of arrows.
I'm saying, yes.
You're going to lose them. If they go in that brush after you shoot, there's no recovering them.
I think we only recovered. I've only recovered one of my arrows.
Yeah.
Two, because I got the one this morning too. But I lost, I think, 6 arrows. I'd hate to admit that, but I think I did.
Well, it happens down here for sure.
So.
But overall, it was a good trip. Trying to make this a yearly thing. I think the more practice, the better.
For sure. Well, we're gonna wrap it up here, and hope you guys enjoy listening to this. And if any of y'all want to reach out to me, and if y'all are looking for a place to hunt these javelinas in South Texas, I may be able to help a little bit, try to get you in touch with some landowners down here. I don't, just reach me through the Archery Maniacs Facebook page, and be happy to see if I can help you out, try to find you a place to hunt here in South Texas. It's definitely an awesome hunt to have between deer season and turkey season or elk season, or you know, really nothing going on at the in February and March, other than pigs, or I don't really know much else to hunt, or exotics, I guess. But anyway, hope y'all enjoyed it. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning into the show. It means a lot to us.
But seriously though, I really appreciate your ear. And it would mean the world to me if you would rate our podcast. If you didn't like it, one star it. But if you did, a 5 is even better. Don't forget to comment, like, share, and hit that subscribe button. Thanks again for tuning into the show. Some other podcasts that you should definitely check out are
Eastman Elevating with Bride and Barney,
and Hunt Harvest Health with Ryan and Hillary Lampers.
Some other YouTube channels to check out:
Hardworking Hunter, Sterling's Extremes Outdoors, and Lane Walter Productions.
And a special thanks to
Maven Optics, Six Sight Gear, Dark Energy Tech, Shield Mountain Outdoors, The Outdoor Insiders, Iron Mind Hunting, Valkyrie Archery, and Gannett Ridge Sporting Equipment.